Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
It began with Councilman Meese, and then it sounds like you reached out to two other council members to see if there were five who would want to go forward. Which were the two that you asked?
Councilman Paul and Councilman Vance.
Thank you. And are any of these grievances against me?
They are not.
Are any of these grievances against Don?
They are.
City Clerk Don Molinaro.
So you still didn't think he should notify me about it?
Based on the conversations that I held on Thursday and Friday of last week, I felt it was important that the discussion occur here because the individual is an employee of council. They're not in my charge.
So this is Mayor Heather Lindsay. Yes, we're back to dealing with Milton again and again and again and again. This is Mayor Heather Lindsay, flabbergasted that she is called to preside over a meeting, the nature of which she does not understand, and the facts around which, the agenda for which, the purpose of which she was not informed about.
So you still didn't think he should notify me about it?
That's just, you know, and Randy Jorgensen's explaining, well, look, the five city council members out of the eight on the council, you're the plus one who is a tiebreaker. Any five city council members can call a special called meeting. I got five people who wanted to call this meeting. I went with that. It's not my job to oversee the city clerk. It's not my job to manage any of this stuff. It's only my job to respond to the needs of the council and, you know, if needed, call something like this. Mayor Lindsay's never going to call this meeting because she's besties with Don Molinaro. And look, I've had, over the years, I've had good interactions with Mayor Lindsay. I've had, you know, recently, you know, she's not been there long, good interactions with Don Molinaro. You know, I have opinions about who's in the right and who's in the wrong on all this stuff, but certainly don't take any of my comments to mean like, I think this person is horrible and this person's irredeemable or anything like that. I just, you know, certain circumstances I find entertaining, such as that the mayor begins this meeting expressing her complete confusion about the reason for the meeting.
I'll just let the folks know, I don't know anything about this meeting. I wasn't notified about it.
So, which is not the best way usually to run government, but okay. And so I think the complaint that this was not done transparently or with, you know, the people who were going to be in the meeting didn't really know what was going on. I think Don Molinaro must have known because she, remember her attorney got up before this at the, you know, public forum portion and said, hi, I'm the attorney for her. She's filing a whistleblower complaint against the city. Neat. So, you know, all backdrop. So anyway, mayor's frustrated with Randy Jorgensen. And then she, I don't know, proceeds to engage in what can only be described as a cross-examination of him in the meeting.
Isn't it true that before Ms. Molinaro withdrew her letter for support from Mr. Spears, you considered her an exemplary employee? Isn't that correct?
I still...
It's a yes or no question, sir. Isn't it correct?
It's a yes or no question.
You considered her exemplary before she withdrew her letter of support. That is true.
I considered her work to meet the requirements of her vocation.
And you appreciated that she was engaged in the Navy League.
Without question.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Objection, Your Honor. Badgering the witness. Badgering the soon-to-retire, I'm sure gratefully, employee. Okay.
Mr. Jorgensen, I think it's extremely unfair of you to attack Dawn after all of the support she's given you in your role.
No, I'm not attacking. I've had a number of occurrences, both internal and external, of the organization that are quite troubling from my perspective.
Well, why don't you identify them for all of us?
I'll identify one that occurred last Tuesday when Ms. Molinaro entered my office, removed my computer. Entered the PIO's office, removed her computer.
Remember, we talked about this the other day. She confiscated the computers, and there's more drama to all of that.
Took both back to IT. Present in IT at the time were two of the assistants that are found there that work in that field. She indicated to them that she had a request and that they couldn't fulfill the request because they had a relationship with the public information officer. She further indicated that in my absence, she was the admin.
That's not true.
She at that time asked the IT director to pull down information from my computer. And having not known any better, that was done.
Yeah, because at that point, she's acting like she's in charge, according to the allegations. And, you know, what's the IT director? I mean, you know, he could have called her. She, I don't know who it is. Could have called Randy, I suppose, if they'd have gotten a hold of him. And he says, I'm easy to find. I don't know what the problem is. You didn't need to do this in the dark of morning. It's like 7:30 on a Friday morning without me being around. Oh, and then to go contact who's really the kind of sort of deputy city manager in the sense that he fills in for Randy, Chief Tyndall for the police department.
Further, she began communicating with, I think, both yourself and CCing Tony Tyndall without my knowledge or being CC'd on the communication. The most troubling part was the entering my office without my consent, removing my computer, and asking someone to extract information from it. It's a highly unusual act.
Indeed.
And generally getting a hold of me is not that hard to do. So I was a little bit more than just disappointed in those actions.
Again, remember that Randy Jorgensen is Mr. Understatement. Like, he's never, the one time I have heard him be at 11 was later in this meeting. He's normally at 2. Okay, and 3 is when he's really agitated, you know, so by most people's standards. We'll come back to this in just a second. We've got John Pickens sitting in again this morning for Candy with traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly right now. Even 98, no accidents. Or Highway 90 also is flowing smoothly there. That's a look at traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, John. Back to the city of Milton, home of melodrama, you know, and the issue here was whether they were still just trying to figure out whether they should have had this meeting. Like, that was the big drama in the beginning. This was the hour that I wasn't able to watch because they were having all kinds of internet problems. I went back and I finally got access to it yesterday. They finally posted the full meeting. They had major IT issues surrounding all of this on Monday.
Further, having reviewed a grievance that I feel may have merit.
Separate from anything.
And that's based on counsel's advice. The exposure or the liability of the city of Milton is not insignificant. And having had others approach me with the indication that they intend on filing same, I have some concerns. Those concerns are frankly legitimate.
So we've got the in-the-open email from Don Molinaro attacking Ed Spears and saying there's, you know, corruption among city council that she sent to Scott Collins. There's the weird phone call at the mayor's house that she made with the mayor to call Scott Collins and persuade him to come back to work here. There's the the sort of narrative account of what happened over the course of things that she produced that is not a public record, but is her own narrative account. I actually found that useful, but there are things in there that they are saying were inappropriate. And the thing itself was not what was asked for. When we requested emails back and forth between the city council members and Scott Collins, we got this narrative account, which is different than getting the emails. So there's all of that kind of stuff about, you know, appropriate behavior. Then there's the whole computer grabbing thing. And also, as Randy's pointing out, there's been some allegation of harassment, inhospitable workplace. And he says that's a serious one and that there's something else pending. Other people have come forward. So all of that jumbled together. And the city council members wanted to have this meeting to talk about her future employment. And by the way, they vote later and they split 4-4 and the mayor cast the deciding vote to keep her. So we know she's kept her job, at least so far. But going back to the question of, you know, did she do her job well? Has she done her job well throughout the course of time? Here's what Randy had to say about that.
As it relates to Ms. Molinaro and the conduct of her affairs, I believe she has been an exemplary employee. But I have always said to the staff of the city of Milton, repeatedly and over a period of 5 years, do not get involved in the politics of the city of Milton. You leave that to the politicians.
That is great advice.
Unfortunately, I feel in this instance, someone has done something different than that. And there are council that have expressed a concern having seen that occur.
And that's really the issue is, are you involved in the politics of this stuff? And have you sided with one group over another? And, you know, I see that concern because she's so closely aligned with Mayor Lindsay. And, you know, that's not her job either. I'm trying to put this in the most charitable light possible because I've had good interactions with Don. But that's kind of how I see it, as, you know, the guy watching this is the news person from the outside, so to speak. And then finally, we just have this ongoing question about whether the meeting itself is justified. Marilyn Farrow?
I just wanted to bring up that I was not approached about this called meeting. And since the city clerk is employed by the council, I think all the council members should have at least had the opportunity to vote whether to have a meeting or not.
And at least then you would have known what it was about.
Well, exactly. We know I was. We would.
But remember, Mayor Lindsay called not one, not two, but three special meetings about Alex Andrade's behavior, canceled the first two, held the third one. He got his job kept by a 5-2 vote, and didn't he wasn't even informed of that first meeting. Like, she called the meeting with city council, and I think he found out when a reporter asked him to comment on it. Like, what in the, you know, so this complaint, well, this is not the proper process and everybody should be informed. Huh. Yeah. Hmm. Now, I agree. Everybody should be informed, but that cuts against everybody, right? Not only against what was happening with this particular meeting. Mike Cusack.
I'm just amazed. You know, last week when I was talking about the city attorney, we talked, a comment was made by two members of council that there was a witch hunt going on. Well, surprise, surprise, this is exactly what this is.
Another witch hunt in the other direction with underhanded, under-the-table dealings.
The way it was done, it's under the table, and there's no transparency. And that's the problem with this city council. We're not transparent with the people that are sitting out here.
Okay? Can we not say the same thing about the previous meeting, about the attorney? Nobody ever asked me if I wanted to be at that meeting.
Matt Jarrett pipes up correctly.
Yeah, no one pulled the council about that meeting, sir.
You can't pick and choose what you agree
with. So it's okay if you want to go after somebody, it's okay.
I'm not trying to go after anybody.
No.
You literally moved to fire Alex Andrade at the last meeting. What do you mean you're not trying to go after anybody? Good Lord. It's like, can you not tell the truth one time? It's the same problem with the mayor who began this meeting by saying, I want the thumb drives of the video of this meeting so I can go to the state attorney's office and the attorney general's office. And then later on, she says, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not alleging that anybody committed a crime. The what you say? It's just... But we have John Pickens, a resident of the city of Milton. John, Milton's a great city.
It is. It really actually
is. It's a fantastic
is.
City.
People are great.
It is wonderful. And then, you know, I would say this is a case where the dysfunction of the elected officials and at City Hall does not correctly represent the greatness of the city of Milton. But it does make for some entertaining radio.
Well, yeah, it does.
Oh, don't worry. We'll be back with more next hour. This episode's not even over. 623 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Summer season is here and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. And that's it. Now let's do this.
Milton, you have a great city. You just don't have great political leaders, or at least some great political leaders. 626 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm on your side, honestly. I want it to be better, too. John Pickens sitting in for Candy again today with traffic on the fives.
That's right. We have a vehicle crash that just happened with roadblock. Kingsville Road and Highway 29, the turning lane is blocked there. So be careful of that. You might want to use an alternate route to get to Tate High School or some of the other areas around there. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. That's a look at traffic on your fives.
All right, thanks so much, John. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to buy good quality used cars. You hear me talk about them all the time. Dave Ramsey talks about them all the time. You see the bumper stickers. You see the license plate frames. You see the big buffalo, you know. And you hear me say things like serving the Pensacola community. And you might wonder, well, you know, do I mean that? Well, do I generally mean my words? I mean, you know I do. Okay, so when it comes to service, things like follow up after the sale to make sure that you're happy, or even just doing things gratis that help people with their car buying or even car repairs. I had, a good friend of mine was traveling outside of town on vacation and got into a wreck, major wreck. $20,000 in damage to the car, which was not even to total the car, right? The insurance company was going to take care of it. And she somehow or other, somebody mentioned her, why don't you look into the issue of diminished value? That's where if you repair a car back to its, you know, normal standard, you still can't sell it for the same amount because it's been in a wreck and you have to disclose that when you're, you know, selling a car, or they can find it with the Carfax or whatever. And the point is you've lost value even if it's been fully repaired. And so she basically sent the copy of the bills that the insurance company paid to repair the car over to Frontier and said, what's the diminished value of this car? They sent her back an estimate of $5,000. She sent that to the insurance company, and they wrote her a check for $4,800 on top of the repairs. Frontier didn't make money off this, didn't sell her the car, nothing, but they were a resource, and that's the point. When I say they have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that. 628 News Radio 92.3, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The man convicted of the Tree of Life synagogue shooting in 2018 has been sentenced to death. Robert Bowers was given that death penalty yesterday. His sentence will be formally imposed in court this morning. He was convicted of killing 11 people at that synagogue in 2018. The IRS is promising paperless tax processing by 2025. The Treasury Department says it plans to have taxpayers submit all correspondence digitally by the next tax filing season in 2024. They also plan to digitize the 1 billion historical documents in their catalog. And a microphone that was thrown at a fan by Cardi B during a recent show in Las Vegas, apparently hitting the auction block. The rap star hurled the microphone at an audience member at a show Saturday, apparently after some liquid or drink or something had been thrown in her direction. The mic apparently retails for about $1,000, and it's listed for $90,000 on eBay.
Of course it is.
You know, if you're interested in a Cardi B collectible.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It'd look great
right
on your mantle.
Oh, my goodness. David, thanks so much for the update. All right, quick question for the room. John, David, have either of you guys seen the human impersonating a bear by wearing a bear suit in China? Have you seen the video of this bear? Standing up,
I saw
on,
the dog on, one.
Standing up on its back legs,
no.
Waving at the crowd. Looks like it's got a skin suit on it and a pot belly. It looks for all the world like, you know, somebody inside the bear. Have you seen this?
No. I saw a picture of it. I didn't watch the video.
So if you watch the video, you're like, oh my God, that's a person. They've got a person in a bear suit in the Chinese zoo. What in the world? Well, now you've got other zoos rushing to the rescue of the Chinese. The Paradise Wildlife Park in Hertfordshire, England, has come out in support saying, no. That's just what sun bears do. It's common. They showed their own video and pictures. And it's actually interesting. If you watch the Chinese video, when he's up on his back legs, he certainly looks like a person. But then if you look at the proportions, like his head's not in the right place for where the arms should be for a person. And when he goes down back onto all four, he moves entirely like a bear. No person could move like that. So it's just a funny, just how they happen to be. That's just how they behave. But it is a very entertaining video. David, what do you have coming up for your news, sir?
The first sea turtle hatch is done. We'll have more after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump, facing 78 criminal charges now, returns to Washington, D.C. for another arraignment.
Additional security measures are in place around the Prettyman Federal Court building ahead of a 4 p.m. initial appearance. The former president is expected to appear in person and may enter a plea on four counts brought by special counsel Jack Smith, charging Trump with conspiracy to defraud the United States and obstruct an official proceeding.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Trump says he can't get a fair trial in D.C., suggesting West Virginia instead. President Biden's calling for the immediate release of Niger's President Mohamed Bazoum, removed from power in a military coup.
The U.S. embassy in Niger will remain open, but the State Department's ordered a partial evacuation. Non-essential staff and their families are being withdrawn, we're told, out of an abundance of caution.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 81 degrees right now in Pensacola. Skanska has now lost a big battle in court in their effort to limit the amount of liability they could have for the damage caused by their barges during Hurricane Sally.
According to the PNJ, the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta ruled against Skanska's attempt to limit their liability to $1.2 million. Skanska had tried for that amount based on a provision in maritime law. However, the court ruled 3-0 that Skanska was negligent in preparing for the hurricane. That ruling backed up District Court Judge Lacey Collier's ruling in 2021. Now, unless there's an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, the dozens of lawsuits filed on behalf of businesses and residents can move forward. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Emergency crews are out looking for two missing swimmers in waters near NAS Pensacola. First responders were staged around the NAS entrance last night. Reports are that three swimmers originally were reported missing. One was found and unfortunately pronounced dead. Two others are still missing. We'll let you know when we learn any more about this search. Starting next month, construction work for the Beach Haven Phase 2 Sanitary Sewer and Drainage Project will begin. The project will provide stormwater improvements and sanitary sewer services to all lots in the Beach Haven neighborhood. The project extends from Gulf Beach Highway on the south to Jones Swamp on the north and Fairfield Drive on the west to Colbert Avenue on the east. The total cost of construction for this project will be just under $21 million. It's being funded by several sources, including local option sales tax, BP oil spill recovery funds, and by ECUA. Construction will take place Monday through Friday, and it is expected to last all the way until 2025. If things don't drastically change with the ACC's TV rights deal, it may not be a matter of if, but rather when Florida State leaves. That's the message yesterday that was sent at the Board of Trustees meeting.
The deficit between us and the school down the road, not to mention a bunch of schools north of us, right? We're surrounded by schools that are going to have a $400 million advantage. And that's $400 million they're going to be able to invest into all of their athletic programs, not to mention it's $400 million they don't have to go out and raise.
That's trustee member, also former quarterback, Drew Weatherford. And he says that the university, the money the university receives annually is dwarfed in comparison to what the SEC and Big Ten schools get. And the ACC's media rights deal with ESPN doesn't expire until 2036. Well, Senator Marco Rubio sending out a message of warning about two substances that he says are worse than fentanyl. Senator Rubio wrote yesterday on a Newsweek.com about xylazine and nitazine. Xylazine is an animal sedative, and that's being added to opioids like fentanyl to reduce production costs. It increases psychoactive effects and also makes them more addictive. Senator Rubio says it also can have the effect of rotting human flesh, and it's resistant to Narcan. He warns that soon that'll be in all 50 states. Rubio says nitazine also is 10 times stronger than fentanyl and has already caused overdose deaths to increase by a multitude of four in Tennessee in just 1 year. Rubio says federal policymakers need to act quickly by making xylazine and nitazine illicit drugs. It is 6:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
traffic on the fives right now, not seeing any delays on I-10, I-110, or even 98. Everything's flowing smoothly right now. That's traffic on the fives.
Blistering heat continues as we head through the end of the week and into the weekend. We have highs in the mid to upper 90s once again for today and tomorrow. Heat advisories are in effect for all of Northwest Florida, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. for today and likely Friday too. This weekend looks to be hot, but rain chances could move into the forecast Saturday and Sunday at 40 to 50% chances. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
And right now we have 80 degrees in Pensacola. It's 82 in Gulf Breeze and 79 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. The UAW is amplifying calls for wage increases and job security. And President Sean Fain says it shouldn't matter that the car companies are facing an expensive transition to electric vehicles. The UAW leader in recent weeks has hardened his stance with GM, Ford, and Jeep maker Stellantis as labor talks in Detroit get underway. Auto executives have become more vocal about wanting flexibility to shift more factory work to EVs, a potential threat to unionized jobs. Fain is also calling for a 32-hour work week and double-digit pay increases for members. The IRS is looking to go paperless. The Federal Tax Collection Agency has announced plans to allow taxpayers to submit correspondence and non-tax forms online starting next season and to file all returns digitally by the 2025 filing season in a paperless initiative it says will ramp up efficiency, accuracy, and enable workers to receive their tax refunds sooner. On Wall Street, futures a bit lower. That's Your Money Now.
Did you know China starts teaching financial literacy in preschool? American kids are getting left behind, but we can help at home thanks to The Sensibles, a team of animated superheroes who help kids develop smart money habits in a fun way. Each month, they get a kit in the mail with a DVD, a comic book, access to an interactive website, fun activities, and lots more. Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code CENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. The Sensibles. It's the sensible thing to do.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast. Or your money back.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Divorce forces a father to focus on what's most important, his children. In the divorce process, this comes down to three key concerns: physical custody, decision-making, as well as financial support. Each of these is important, and it's important that you choose a lawyer that cares as much about these issues as you do.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
We'll be right back.
Good morning, 640 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Every Thursday at this time, we connect with Wes Moreno. He's the Escambia County Administrator. And we have a meeting. We're coming out of the summer pause where we're actually going to have a governmental meetings in Escambia County. There is one today, an agenda, and then a regular meeting tonight. Wes Moreno, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. Lots of stuff on the agenda. One that is not on the agenda, but I just wanted to get a quick update from you. I've seen a video. It looks like that bridge on Longleaf that is, made it so that you just cannot get from here to there on Longleaf right now. That is in the process of being replaced. And are we on schedule to have that completed?
We are about a week off. And that's probably due to some of that heavy rain we had a few weeks back. It kind of set us back a couple of days. But they are working 7 days a week. They're working as hard as they can. And I think for a bridge, that a structure like that, of that magnitude, I think if we reel it in, only being a week behind with all the weather, I think we'll be doing great.
All right. Well, I'll take it. I know it's super inconvenient for anybody that likes to use Longleaf to get from 29 over to Pine Forest or vice versa, especially the UPS trucks and all of that. But, hey, a bridge that needs to be repaired and replaced is a bridge that needs to be replaced. So it's hard to quibble with that. One of the things that I know some people are very worked up about on the agenda this morning is the ICMA, the ICMA program, the 401A retirement plan, a change in the percentages. But I think maybe that's not going to actually be on the agenda. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I pulled it off.
Okay, so that'll come to a different meeting just in case. I know that's the kind of thing a lot of people are interested in and would show up to the meeting for, and I want to make sure to let them know that that's no longer on the agenda this morning. This is a weird story. These EMS truck ambulances, we ordered 8. They got the wrong kind. and then it turns out that Fire Department of New York also ordered 8, and they got the wrong kind, but their wrong kind are the right ones for us. So we're basically acquiring their incorrect ones. But because this whole process took so long, they go from being $2 million to being $2.4 million. So $400,000 delta that we're going to have to eat. My one question for you, it's great that we're getting new trucks and we're bypassing the 18-month wait that we'd have to get to reorder ones. But are you guys going to be pursuing that $400,000 back from, is it Horton? Is that the company?
Yeah, Horton's. Yeah, that's yeah. We've been working with them. We have another order being put together, and so we're going to be looking for some deliverables to help make up for that $420,000. Part of that $420,000 is these chassis are 4x4s; they're not 4x2s, so there's an additional cost for that. But yeah, they're very, very amenable with us. They're working well with us, and I think we'll be able to come to a resolution there.
Okay. So even though this is a change order for plus $400,000, there are things to anticipate in future deals that'll, take the sting out of that bite to some degree, perhaps entirely, which is that's good news to hear. Why are we buying $227,000 worth of new jail bedding for a brand new jail?
These are they call them clamshells. They are harder. Suicide prevention, I'll say that. That's why.
Okay.
Suicide prevention. This bedding is more difficult to harm yourself with. It's more difficult to tie in a knot. You have to really, really work at it. I'm not saying that it won't ever happen, but it's safer and gives us another tool in the toolbox to help prevent hanging suicides in the jail.
Okay. Well, obviously that's a good objective. Were we not aware that was going to be a potential, or did we not know about that or have that product access to us when we bought the original bedding, or is this just a response to what, go ahead.
Yeah. Andrew, I don't know what we knew about when they bought the original bedding.
Okay.
I do know that I've been challenging Chief Powell to do anything we can to reduce the possibility of suicide, hanging suicides, especially in the jail. We're looking at other things it's kind of like a Fitbit that you put on a person, and if their oxygen level drops below a certain level, it alerts. And we're doing that. We're also formatting a new room, control room, if you will, where we will have people that sit there all day, every day, and they're just looking at the monitors. And right now we have somebody looking at monitors, but they're also opening doors. They also do some other activities. This room will be strictly for us to look at the monitors and help keep a better eye on what's going on
especially those who may be on more prone to suicide, suicide watch, or have communicated they're thinking about it. And so we're doing everything we can to be more proactive at it, you know?
Okay. Well, no, I didn't know. I was curious, and I appreciate that answer because, yeah, we want to, you know, we have an obligation for the people that are in our custody to protect their lives as much as we can, even if it's against their own self-harm desires. So I appreciate that answer. Talking to Wes Moreno, the county administrator for Escambia County. We'll be back to that in just a second. We've got Mr. Pickens, John Pickens, sitting in for Candy this morning with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. This report is brought to you by the FDOT. Find the traffic info this hurricane season at FLF511.com. It's hurricane season. Are you prepared? Again, that's FL511.com. I-10, I-110, all flowing very smoothly, even 98 and Highway 90 in Milton. Seeing a little bit of backup on Highway 29 near the Kingsfield area. That accident has been moved over to the side. Other than that, things are looking good. That's a look at your traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, Sean. Back to Wes Moreno, the county administrator for Escambia County. Again, we've got a commission meeting today. Lots of stuff on the agenda. One of the issues is a almost $200,000 contract for holding pond mowing. I know this has been an ongoing issue for the county to keep up with an ever-growing inventory of holding ponds. People build stuff, and then we acquire the obligation to maintain them. And then, you know, not being able to use inmates from the road, prison, and things like that for a while. Does this contract put us in a place where we are really adequately maintaining all of the cutting on all of these ponds?
Well, it certainly it's a huge improvement. I'll say that, and it's at a very good price. So it's about 300 ponds that will be on this contract. Now, keep in mind that we are now up to about 1,000 ponds that we're responsible for. So we are looking at putting another mowing contract out for another 300 to 400 ponds. And then the delta between those two contracts will make up with in-house forces. It's just a strategy, you know, where we're at. And like I said, we had the thought, we had the idea, we put it out to bid. Felt like that was an excellent price for the work that has to be accomplished. And so, we're going to renew this existing contract, and we're going to put another contract together.
Okay. Well, you know, I know this has been an ongoing issue, and I know it's costly to solve it, but it's better than flooding that comes from not cutting back the vegetation in the drainage ponds. Of course, you could also just buy some goats and sheep, put them on OLF-8. Nobody has to mow OLF-8, and then you've got freed up resources to mow the ponds, right? Solved? Problem solved, and the public can go on OLF-8?
Well, I don't know about that just yet, but I don't know about the goats. But ironically enough, we've talked about putting goats in holding ponds before, and we were worried they would drown.
Well, you know, I like that you're looking at all the options. That's encouraging. I do have a question. One of the things on the agenda is $580,000 for 10 corrections vehicles, including a couple of vans and some other vehicles, and then $208,000 for building services trucks, four of them, if I'm not mistaken. This is almost $800,000 that we're spending on a dozen-plus vehicles for the county. My only question is, I know cars are expensive. Have you ever looked at the possibility of acquiring used as opposed to new? Look, you know, in my house, we don't buy new vehicles because new vehicles are not cost-effective. Does the county, have you ever looked at the idea of buying used instead of new?
We have. I would say within the last year for sure, we've bought a couple of used vehicles.
Oh yeah, in ECFR, right? You've bought some stuff for fire and some.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, and the dump trucks,
so
right? Also,
things, okay. And we're looking for things that are readily available. Honestly,
okay.
You know, that's a used vehicle that works for us. That's great. If there's something on the ground, like you see, there's a recommendation to buy 4 gators and
right.
two. We call them dingoes for Pensacola Beach, but you know, first thing we ask is, are they on the ground? Or can I get them in a couple of weeks?
Mm.
I don't want to have to wait a year and a half, you know, with some of these vehicles. So we got Public Works out there, Jamie and Tyler, and they do a pretty good job at researching out with the different dealers that we do business with and the state the cooperative contracts. But we always ask, what do you have available? And if it's used, tell me about it. We'll come look at it. You know, if it's in decent condition, we're open to it. We and we have done that within the last year.
Well, and you saying that reminds me of a couple of things I know recently where that's been you've been able to successfully do that, and so I appreciate that. And I just wanted to make sure we were considering that option. That's all, because when I look at that price tag, I'm like, ugh. And I know, like in my house, we don't buy new cars because too pricey. Does government follow that same kind of thrifty stewardship sort of model? One of the other things that's been in the news is Scambia County Fire Rescue. Now, any firehouse, fire station you have as a safe haven drop-off, right?
Any 24/7 manned firehouse, yeah.
Oh, okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
It's a safe haven, and we hope that it just gives an alternative to somebody who might be struggling, and we want to help any way we can.
And that's a no questions asked for an infant up to 7 days old. Is that right, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Meanwhile, another fire news note is Adam Harrison. You guys have put him in as the interim chief. Are you still looking for a permanent chief, or what's the process here going to be?
Adam's going to be the interim chief, and we're just going to let him fly. We're just going to see how he does. I really like Adam. I have confidence in Adam. He was one of the first names that came to my mind when Chief Cantrobrone submitted his resignation. He's just an impressive individual. He's been in the organization for years. He grew up in the organization there in fire. He loves the organization. He's got a lot of fresh ideas, a lot of good ideas. I believe he has the confidence of the troops over there in fire. I think he's very well respected. And we're going to support him, and I'm going to see how successful he can be, and we'll see how we move going forward.
Well, the West Moreno model, you get an interim, and then you have a permanent. Last thing, and
Go
ahead.
Part of my thing is you have an organization like Fire. It's pretty huge.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to believe that we don't have personnel who have come up and been groomed and trained to step into a role. I think that's important. I think it's important to be able to do that.
No, and it reminds the people who are in the organization now that maybe one day for them, you never know. Last thing, just a quick thing is there's this weird, you're getting rid of a drainage easement off Dogwood at New Warrington and Mobile Highway. And the way I understand it is the pipe that's there for drainage is just not aligned with where the actual easement exists. And so they're wanting to move the easement off of where it is onto where the pipe is so that the land can be freed up to build an RV park. Is that right?
That is correct. Yep, that is exactly right.
So an RV park. There's a new RV park that's going to go in at New Warrington and Mobile Highway.
Yep. It's right there almost across from, it's a U-Haul center now on Mobile Highway. You can access right there and just hang a left, and it'll be right there.
Okay, so it's like around the big circle, the cloverleaf, the one cloverleaf corner that they've got there. It's going to be right on the other side of that.
Not far from there. Almost access right up to it.
Do you happen to know, how many RV spots are they trying to put in there? Do you have any inkling of that yet?
I do not know.
Okay.
That I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, it's an interesting location for an RV park, but that's the kind of thing and not a mobile home park, but RVs. But apparently you can't build those things fast enough for the number of people that want to come vacation here and not have to pay hotel rates. So interesting choice. Wes Moreno, he is the Scambia County Administrator. Wes, I know it's a long day of meetings today, so I really appreciate you spending some time with us, giving us a heads up and some explanations in advance of what these items are. Thanks for the work you do for the county and for always being available to me for questions and information, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a good one now.
You too. 654 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Pregnancy can be an exciting time, but for many moms, it can mean feeling anxious, depressed, confused, or overwhelmed. Either during pregnancy or after having your baby, you may not quite feel like yourself. If you're experiencing these feelings, you are not alone, and mental health issues can be treated. Talk with your OB or connect with a mental health provider in your area by visiting flbhimpact.org. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Average for a gallon of gas, 382. Florida average is 384. Unbelievable, especially if you got to buy premium. Mississippi is 332. California is $5.03. If you're in Navarre, 353 east at the Walmart, 353 west at the Walmart. That was 305 like a week ago. 348 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge at the Murphy, 359 or 69 inside of Gulf Breeze proper, 356 at the CEFCO in Milton, same at the Pea Ridge Murphy. 345. Well, I think that's the Cumberland Farms, though. I always feel like that's not the right price to give because you got to be the member or whatever. It looks like 359 at the Circle K. 345 on 9 Mile at the Walmart. 356 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, it's 336, just a little bit off the beaten track of the Pure Station on Jackson. So good luck. Prices keep going up. 657 News Radio 92.3, a little bit late to traffic on the fives with John Pickens sitting in for Candy this morning. John?
That's right. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Highway 93 pace, even 98. Everything's flowing smoothly right now. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. I almost said John Wayne. David Wayne. I want to call you Fort John Pickens, by the way. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
An Oregon man in custody after a woman says he kidnapped her and kept her in a cinder block cell in his garage. That woman says she was working as a prostitute in Washington State when she was kidnapped July 15th and chained up in the suspect's garage. This was in Klamath Falls, Washington. She says she was held prisoner there until she found a way to escape. Voters in Tennessee deciding in a special election today whether to keep state representatives Justin Pearson and Justin Jones in office. The Republican-dominated State House expelled the two Democrats in April after they took part in a protest on the House floor. And Hasbro selling Entertainment One's TV and film operations to Lionsgate for $500 million. This comes 4 years after Hasbro announced they were buying E1 for nearly $4 billion. The sale includes a content library of about 6,500 titles.
Did I hear you say they bought it for $4 billion, they're selling it for $500 million?
That's what it says. Well, it doesn't sound like a sound investment.
Good investment advice right there. Kind of like investing $90,000 in a Cardi B microphone, but okay. Thanks so much for the update, David. Time now for future news. John and I will tell you what's going to happen before it happens. What's the end outcome of this Skanska lawsuit now that the judge has ruled that the goofy limitation on damages to the value of the barges themselves is not in play? Do you think this lawsuit, these businesses win this lawsuit?
No.
Oh, man. Oh, John Dagger. Yes, they win because there's justice in the world. God's on the throne and Skanska's going to pay. I hope. FSU and Clemson leaving the ACC? It's only a question of time.
It's win.
Oregon, Washington, Cal, Stanford leaving the Pac-12 to go to the Big Ten.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's only a question of time for sure. We'll be back.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The search is on for two missing swimmers in waters near NAS Pensacola. We'll have more on that after this update from Fox News. News Radio 92.3.